stop to think just where I'd be had Jesus come down from that crow tree. There'd be no hope for men, no peace could be found. Praise God, I'm glad that He didn't come down. He didn't come down, oh no, He didn't come down. 10,000 angels were kept all around. He could have called them to set Him free, but He stayed on the cross for you and for me. Picture His mother there with tears in her eyes as they mocked and scorned Him and pierced His side. They said, "And if Thou be King, then come to the ground." But He prayed, "Forgive them," and He didn't come down. He didn't come down, oh no, He didn't come down. 10,000 angels were kept all around. He could have called them to set Him free, but He stayed on the cross for you and for me. He didn't come down, oh no, He didn't come down. 10,000 angels were kept all around. He could have called them to set Him free, but He stayed on the cross for you and for me. For you and for me.
Oh my. Well.
Open the book, come on.
Oh my. Well, amen. It's good to be here though. Oh my. I don't even know where to start. It's, you know, after Revival Fires, we went to Texas. Just as soon as Revival Fires was over, we headed down there. I was down there for a little over a week, I guess, and then got back to the north again. And you know, it was really hot down there. I was almost glad to come back north, and that's scary. Debbie, every time I call Bourbon A home, Debbie marks it down. She said, "You said home. You know you said it's home again." Oh, but it is good to be here. Good to, you know, I was just telling Brother Mick, y'all forgive me, since we've been here, and it's been now just about, 3 years and a month since we moved up here. Debbie says we really hadn't moved. We brought a trailer up here and then took it off, and that's not really moving, she said. But we're not here, and so it is, y'all forgive me, it's difficult to remember names when you're not here. And it's my home church, and I'm going, I don't know these people. I know some of them. I'm getting to know more of you. But you forgive me if I call you by the wrong name. Amen. But it is good to be here, good to be home. Though we are actually parked over at Brother Woodward's right now. Been over in Seneca, Illinois, helping Brother Joel Robertson, and that's been a blessing. We'll leave tomorrow and head for Effingham for a couple of weeks. If you would, please continue. I know many of you have prayed with us about our trailer on the 2nd, so just a couple of days from now. we will have had our new trailer for a year. And tomorrow we will take it to get more warranty work done on it again. The refrigerator man was out for the fourth time today, working on it. It is, I have to admit, it has been frustrating. We're a year down the road and still haven't. Back in April, we had taken it over to Elkhart, Indiana, to the factory. They fixed everything that was wrong with it, even some things that we didn't know was wrong with it. They'd fixed everything. That's the first week of April. We got it back. Now we have a list of about six or seven things that are wrong again. So please pray with us about that. We have it up for sale, but the market is kind of limited because it is a higher-end trailer. And we feel like God's been good to us, but, you know, at the same time, it's a struggle when we have to go back and have it worked on multiple times. So if you would pray for us about that. And pray for my mom. She is really not well. She has diabetes. She has heart problems, other infections that just have caused her a lot of problems, and knee and shoulder problems. They cannot do surgery because of her health. And she is in a lot of pain, and she's 80 years old. I'd appreciate it if you'd be praying for her. I was talking to her on the phone last night, and she could barely talk because she's in so much pain. And that's a hard thing to deal with. I'm the only boy in the family, and I'm the baby of the family. Y'all say, "Aw," right there. "Aw." Yeah, there you go. And so it's hard for the baby to be away from mama. Amen. I see my wife's back there going, "Oh my." But it is. I have to admit, as I talked to her last night, man, had tears in my eyes as I was talking to her, and she's not doing well. I'm glad she's saved. Amen. And, I just pray that God would be really just have mercy and pity there. And remember, she's just flesh. But if you would pray for her, pray for us, that God would continue to use us and bless us. We have stayed so busy. I don't even know how to thank the Lord and thank this church for all y'all do for us and for how kind you are. So many of you, man, stay up with Miss Debbie on Facebook and things like that. I threw you under the bus again, honey. It's a blessing to know that you folks are keeping up with us and praying for us. Thank you so very much for your prayers and for all that you do for us. And, all right, take your Bibles, John chapter 15 this evening. Let's get down to business. Amen. John chapter 15, very familiar passage here. I'm sure I'm not going to say anything tonight that you hadn't heard before, but maybe say it in a little different way. It'll at least have a southern drawl, amen. So that might be new for you. But we'll have a good time looking at the Word of God. If you have that, John 15, let's stand in honor of reading God's Word. Good to see a good crowd out tonight. John chapter 15, if you have that, say amen, wave at me, do something, let me know you're there. All right, you got it? Good. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. You follow along with me if you would. The Bible says this, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." You know, I think if I was saved and wasn't doing nothing for God and I read that, I think I'd get a little nervous. Amen? Yeah, y'all say amen right there now. I'd get a little nervous. He said, "And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, And men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Don't really have a title for the message. Just want to look at some things I see in the passage here. And I guess if I was going to title it, I'd probably call it something like, let's not be do-nothing Christians. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Boy, if we'd really just be real honest with ourselves, folks, God didn't get much when He got us. Amen. And thank God He'd use us. I still hadn't figured out why God would use us. I'm glad He does. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight you're saved? Have a Savior that cares about you and that wants to provide for you, that all the different promises that we have, all the different things that go into our salvation, all the benefits that we have. It's amazing. But to think that God would take us and use us. And he talks about here, and we'll look at it, about this matter of fruit bearing. So let's pray, and then we'll look at the message this evening, all right? Father, as we come before you, again, Lord, we just want to lift up to you our pastor. God, that you'd be with him. Lord, please give he and his family wisdom. Give them the help that they need, dear God. And Lord, I understand this. Have to deal with an ailing parent. And Lord, I just ask you for help for them. And Lord, we need you tonight, though. God, the truth is, we're but flesh. And Lord, there's this old life just many times just is weary. And so we just want to come apart this evening and spend a little time with you. Ask that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, that you'd help me as I preach. Holy Spirit of God, that you'd direct my thoughts and my mind and help me that I might say some things that would be a blessing and an encouragement and a help as we gather around the Word of God tonight. In Christ's name we pray and ask it. Amen. You can be seated. You know, I say this often as we travel. We're in a lot of different churches. And I have to be honest, I don't like a lot of what I see as we travel. There are a lot of churches that are letting the banner down. Some, it seems like, are changing just for change's sake. Some are, you know, they want to make changes thinking that somehow the letting down of the standard is going to draw a bigger crowd. And let's be honest, sometimes that is the case. I don't know. I don't believe it's the right reason to do anything. This thing's not about numbers, folks. It's about truth, and it's about faithfulness of the people of God. And we're going to have to stand to give an account, not for numbers. Hey, listen, let's just realize tonight, especially as we talk about fruit, there's nobody in here tonight that can save anybody. We can tell them all we want, but God's got to get involved or nothing's going to happen. And so, you know, it's not about numbers, but there's a lot of folks that's in their mind, that's what it's about. And so that's what they're going to, you know, they'll compromise some areas so that they can draw bigger numbers. They're worried about crowds. And I found this that a lot of times the reason they're worried about crowds is because they're worried about what other guys think or say. You know, what does this preacher think, or what does that preacher think? Well, I have to be honest. Please don't throw any rocks or tomatoes or anything. But I don't like the thing of we kind of have put within a lot of our preacher boys this, and I don't know that I like that term either, but in our younger preachers, the idea of unless you're running a certain number, you're really not successful. Let me just give you a doctrinal exposition of that. Hogwash. I think that really covers it. It's hogwash. It's just not about numbers. I think the Lord wants everybody saved that'll get saved. Amen? And you and I ought to want that. And we ought to want to be a part of that. Amen? But it's not about numbers. But, you know, as we have traveled and over the last 3 years, I just see so many things that boy, when you look at the Word of God and as we look towards the coming of Christ and all those things, it just kind of seems like things are coming alive that you see in the Bible, man. Folks won't endure sound doctrine. And you can show folks specifically from the Bible what God has to say, and they'll make a statement like this. Well, I don't really care what the Bible has to say. I know what happened in my life. In other words, they base it on experience instead of on the Word of God. Better be careful doing that. The devil's slick at making our experiences not line up with the book. That's the truth. And we can't base anything on our experience because we're just flesh. And even our thinking is really wrong many times. I mean, the things that we think don't line up with the Word of God. And so we've seen those things, but it all kind of boils down to this. Folks, we need revival in our nation in a desperate way. We really do. And we need people that will stand for God and stand for the Word of God without compromise. I thank God for this church. Listen, I don't have to worry when I go somewhere and I tell folks where I'm from. They know our stand. They know our pastor, and they know the stand of this church. They know the banner is not being lowered at all, and that helps us. It really does. It helps me as I go. They know I'm not going to compromise in the preaching. I'm going to hold the same standard that our pastor does and do my best to try to be a good testimony of this church as we travel. But listen, we need revival in a desperate way. And I think a lot of Christians, really, you know, before the election, well, they were just all fired up. I mean, we got a defeat. And let me just say, I'm not Democrat or Republican. Amen. I'm for Jesus. I wish he had run. I'd have voted for him. Amen. And I did see one thing that I really agreed with before the election. Somebody had made this comment, I'm scared somebody's going to win the election. Amen. And they did. And I wasn't a Clinton fan, but I wasn't a Trump fan either. I think the guy's a Looney Tune. You're welcome. Amen. Now, I'm glad he got voted in over Hillary. Amen. It'd have been even worse. And if you were voting for Hillary, I'm glad she lost. And you need to get right. Amen. I mean, but, you know, the election didn't solve anything. Because the problem that we have is a spiritual problem. And so what is going to solve things if we have some revival in our nation? We need to remember that, you know, making America great again isn't electing a person for president. It's this. The Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation. And that's what we've got to get back to. And so, listen, part of what I believe is going to help in having revival is this. It's changing the hearts and minds of many of our kinsmen here in America. And the only thing that's going to change a heart and a mind is this, is when they get saved. And so the point I'm making is this, listen, soul winning has to be a part of revival. If we're going to see revival in America, we've got to change hearts and minds of people here. The way you do that is get out, get busy, amen, talking to folks about the Lord Jesus, and getting folks saved. And let me say quickly, soul winning isn't a time and a place. Soul winning is a lifestyle. It's wherever you go. I mean, let me say this again. Don't throw anything at me. But if you check your pocket right now and you don't have some tracks on you, shame on you. You're welcome. Amen. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, we're in a battle, and it's time for all hands on deck. Amen. And you need, you're a part, if you're saved, you're one of the soldiers in the battle. You don't have to, you may not be able to get out and knock doors. That's fine. You don't have to. Man, I found this. The grayer my hair gets, the more I go to the doctor's office. And at the doctor's office, how many of y'all have realized that appointment time means nothing? Amen? They give you an appointment time. It don't mean nothing. You're fixing to go over there and wait for another hour past the appointment time. Then they're going to send you back to another room, and you're going to wait another hour for the doctor to come back there. He'll walk in, see you for about 3 to 5 minutes, and out the door he goes. And you're wondering, man, where did all the time go? I mean, but understand that while you're there in that doctor's office, everybody else is there just like you are. And they are not going to give up their appointment time. Amen? So get you a pocket full of tracks before you go down there. Man, get you, find somebody over there. Hey, how you doing? What's your name? Hey, Elijah. Let me give you an invitation to church, right? And they cough on him real good. No, don't do that. Don't do that. That doesn't work. But give him a track and talk to somebody. Listen, you know what? This guy ain't leaving because it took him 2 months to get the appointment. And if he leaves, it's going to take him another 2 months to get another appointment. See, he ain't going nowhere. Amen? And if he gets up and walks across the room, then follow him. I know y'all think I'm a nut, but hey, we got to do something to get some folks saved. Amen? Go to Walmart. How many of y'all get? Y'all go to Walmart. Let's see. Come on, more y'all than that go to Walmart. It's a big company. Amen? Yeah. Hey, how many of y'all get nervous about passing out tracts and stuff? Let's see. All right, some honest folks here. I get nervous about soul winning stuff. Take the tract, amen, as they're walking out and you're walking in, throw it in their bag and run. Amen. They ain't going to chase you down and say, take her back, take her. Amen. Man, run inside the store, find the first aisle to the right, one to the left. Yeah, they'll never find you anyway. Amen. But honest now, the point is we've got to get involved in the battle. There's too many folks on the sideline just watching. We have here in John chapter 15, let me just get to the message. We've got to have some fruit-bearing Christians. Hold your place here. Turn back to Mark chapter 4. Let me show you what we have for Christians. Mark chapter 4. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but down in verse 14, it starts the parable of the sower there. And let me start in verse 15. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. So we know this crowd's not saved at all. All right? Verse 16. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown on among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Well, the point is this. Man, that first guy, you know he's lost. Amen? Immediately Satan took the word. The next two guys, man, I remember debating in Bible college. I wonder whether they're saved or lost. I mean, I have to be honest with you. You can debate all day one way or the other. You really can't nail these guys down. The last one, we know they're saved. They produce 30, 60, 100 folks. We know these are fruit-bearing folks. What we're producing today is those two middle guys. Amen. Man, and you forgive me for being a little bit personal, but I got family that got in for a little while. Y'all know what I'm saying. Man, you see them, they'll come through the back door, they're excited, I got saved, they get baptized, they hang out for a little while. But when either maybe a job comes along, maybe hard times, trials of life, you look around, you wonder, man, what in the world happened? And that's where most Christians are today. Over in Mark chapter 5, if you look over there, we have the story there of the fella from Gadara. If you would, look down to verse 19. So, verse 18, so I can get through this quickly. Another type of Christian. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, tell them how, look at this, great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. What I'm saying is there's two different types of Christians we're seeing here. We're seeing those folks that are compromising, that are just half in, half out. Then we have this guy. He is sold out. He said, Lord, I want to go with you. He said, no. He said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go home. If we went to Luke 8, it'd say this, go to thy house. How many of you have lost family that you're trying to witness to? Listen, this is what he told that guy. Go home and tell them how great things the Lord's done for. See, when you get saved and you live like those two fellows that are compromising, it's no wonder your family don't get saved. They need to see something that's real, folks. And we need some Christians that'll show them some great things that God's done for them. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about that we need some lifestyle changing, outward appearance changing Christians that stand out for God. I don't know about you, but I'm not God, but I understand when he says, man, that lukewarm crowd makes me sick. It does. And listen, it ought to, something down inside ought to just, I mean, well up inside us and say, man, I don't want to be like that. I want to be that guy that's real. I want to be the guy that when they look, they say, hey, something about that guy. Something about that lady that good night. You see, she's even changed in her appearance and her dress. I mean, she's not, good night, she's just submissive to her husband, all that stuff. What kind of crazy woman is that? Hey, let's be honest, that's, the world thinks you're a nut. I've told you, I think I've said it before, I was one of those long-haired 60s, 70s hippies when I got saved, and, you know, I thought I was pretty. Amen. I did. But man, I got saved and started having to get my hair cut and had to get rid of my hot rods and my motorcycle. And you forgive me, I just, those things were carnal. They kept me in a carnal mode. And I had to get rid of that stuff in order to sell out to God. Amen. Now, maybe you're different, but I don't think so. I think your old flesh is just like mine. It likes holding on to carnal things, but those carnal things hurt us. Amen. Let me move on quick. Let's get back to John chapter 15. Let me give you a few things. We'll be done. First, he says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husband. Understand, the Father is the farmer. He's the one doing the work on the branches. Hey, listen, if you're a branch tonight, if you're saved, God is working in your life. Hey, it was the relationship that Jesus Christ repaired for us when we got saved. It was a relationship, our fellowship between God the Father and ourselves. Jesus is the one that repaired that. Now the Father can work on our behalf. Hey, the truth is, Jesus even said it. I didn't come to do my own will, and I'm not doing my own work. I'm doing the will of the Father. He yielded Himself to the work of God. So understand, the work that we are in, the work that is being done on us, is the work of God. Alright? He's the husbandman, the Bible says. Understand? Jesus said, I am the true vine. So, we get it this evening. He's the only way we can produce fruit as a branch. We are grafted into that vine, and through Christ, you and I can produce fruit as a branch. Listen, the bottom line is this, folks. We got to stay plugged in. You can't separate from the vine and get anything done. Without me, He said it, ye can do nothing. It's in Him and through Him that we're fed. Third thing I see is this. The idea is this, that we as branches are to bring forth or bear more fruit, and the more fruit, the better. Let me say it again. The idea of the passage is this, that branches are to bring forth fruit, and the more fruit, the better. Isn't that what a husbandman's looking for? I mean, he gets out, it's sowing time right now here in Illinois. I saw some today as we were traveling over from Dwight. Saw them out there in the field. Some were already spraying the plants that are coming up. Others were actually sowing seed today. It's planting time. And in that farmer's mind is this, man, I want a good crop. That's what I'm looking for. Hey, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for a good crop. Amen? He's the husbandman. And He wants to make sure, hey, this is a thing. I want my branches to produce fruit, and the more fruit, the better. Amen? Let me kind of show you the progression that He says here. Look in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, there's the first stage of a branch that's producing. He produces fruit. But then He goes on to say, He purgeth it that it may bring forth, what's the next two words? What is it? More fruit. So it's not just fruit, but He wants more fruit. Now look down to verse 5 if you would. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, what's the next two words? What is it? Much fruit. So now we've got a vine that, a branch that produces fruit. And He said what He wants is to produce more fruit. Now He goes another step. He says, wait a minute, I want much fruit. All right, now if you would go to verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. I call this in glorifying fruit. Glorifying fruit. He said it's not just much fruit, but it's fruit that glorifies the Father. Now, he said, the next point is this. The purging is the cleansing that takes place as the Lord speaks to us. Look in verse 3. Verse 2 and 3 there, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So, understand, branches of a vine, and lay down there in the dirt, get all nasty. Man, rain comes along, it kind of buries that branch down the dirt. Can't produce much down there. Let's be honest. The more earth and worldliness we get on us, the less we produce. And let's be honest. Please, y'all, don't get mad at me, but we're like a bunch of pigs. Forgive me, I'm going to use a personal illustration here. We were over at the Thackers the other day. They had a Memorial Day picnic. We'd gone out there. Brother Hall and his wife were there. I've never seen Miss Hall that dirty. I'm serious, never seen it. I'm sorry, Brother Mick, for using personal illustration. She's out there playing volleyball. I mean, she is, and they have a nice, I don't know if you've ever seen the Thackers volleyball courts, really nice sand pit there. Boy, it's great. But Miss Hall was filthy. I mean, just wallowing in that dirt. It looked like she wanted to be in that stuff, you know. She was picking up handfuls, throwing it at herself. And so, wait. That's just kind of how we are. We like rubbing that old dirt all over us. Well, you know, it's not necessarily fun getting cleaned up. You don't believe that? Just ask a junior age boy. Huh? He don't want to get in the bath. He don't want to get in the shower. I'm all right. Leave me alone. Man, I used to be a counselor, or, you know, was the pastor in charge of taking the junior age kids to camp. Boy, I'd rather take anybody than junior age kids. You have to force them to take showers, and they think, well, I got in a swimming pool. What else do you need? Amen. And really, I mean, honest, some of you ladies that are fixing to get married, or you've been married shortly, you'll find your husband, you have to force him sometimes. Get in. Amen, Miss Temple. Amen. Let's move on. Yeah, we get dirty. Clean branches are abiding and produce much fruit. Look at verse 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. He had talked about, back in verse 2, that purging, in verse 3, that cleansing, and he says, now what you've got to do is abide in me as a clean branch. It's like this, when I'm city boy, so I don't know much about farming or anything, but I'd get me some 5-gallon buckets and I'd grow me some tomatoes. My grandpa had taught me, man, you got to watch out and get those little suckers on the tomato vine. You got to pick those things off, otherwise it'll steal from the fruit that it does produce. And that's what the purging is. God wants to. There's things in our life that will hinder us from producing fruit for God. And God's got to pinch those suckers off, so that we can produce more fruit, so we'll be clean. He does that through, sometimes the preacher gets up here and he just, he just lights you up. Invitation time comes and, man, you know, either it's go to the altar or get a hard heart. Amen. Y'all say amen right there now. I'll stop and preach for a while. Yeah, amen. I mean, it's the truth. And we ought to thank God for a preacher that'll get up and preach and it'll bring us under conviction. Amen. Thank God that God won't leave us dirty as a branch or unclean so that we can't produce for Him. Amen. But He's got to come along and get those suckers off, those things that are hindering our fruit producing. And this is the thing, if we don't abide in Him, we're not getting fed. Without that sustenance that the vine provides, we can do nothing anyway. So understand that as clean branches that are abiding, then we can produce fruit for God. Not just fruit, but He says this, more fruit, much fruit, glorifying fruit. I don't know about you, but I want to produce glorifying fruit. Amen? And I'm convinced now, here in John chapter 15, it's not just the fruit of righteousness and those kind of things in our life. That is some fruit producing in our life that takes place. But I believe chapter 15, verse 16 makes it real clear. He is talking about producing souls in this chapter. He says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go. For the Calvinist crowd, he didn't say, I chose you for salvation. He said, I chose you that you would go. He's talking about getting out in the highways and hedges and talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and getting them saved. It's one of the few ways that's going to help us to have revival here in America again. Amen. And he said you can either produce fruit, that's 30-fold. You can produce more fruit, that's 60. You can produce much, that's 100. That he's talking about back yonder in Mark chapter 4. I don't know about you, I want to produce some glorifying fruit. I do. He talks in verse 16. He says there's some fruit that will remain. Man, that's the kind of fruit you want, amen? That you can look around and say, wow, and I'm so glad I had a part in that. Look at how they're growing. Brother Greg, I mean, it's amazing. Brother, I think back to when we were here, you was our bus driver, and all those years ago. Man, all the things that's happened around here. It's unreal. It really is. And it's because there's some fruit that remained. Yeah. I want to be a part of something like that. Amen? I mean, if you don't, we'll have an invitation here in just a little bit. Amen? Abiding branches receive all supply. If you would, go down to verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, look at this. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What did he say? He said in a different way over there in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply what? All your need. Man, you need some help. Whether it's in your finances, whether it's in your Christian growth, whether it's, your family, whatever it is. God said, look, abide in the vine. He said, Jesus is talking, abide in me and my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Now listen, I'm not Pentecostal or charismatic, but I believe what God just said right there. He just said, go ahead, you just stay in that given place, that place of abiding with me, and you can ask whatever you want. Now, listen, I'm convinced when you're walking with God, you're not going to get stupid in what you ask for. Oh, that's a bad word, isn't it? I forgot. School kids here. I'm sorry, school kids. That wasn't a wise thing to... Yeah. You won't make unwise decisions in asking in prayer. Is that better? You're welcome. Amen. Listen, you're not going to get crazy. If you're really walking with God, honest, you want what God wants. Amen. That's part of abiding in that vine. I don't want for myself. I want what the vine wants, which is for me to produce much glorifying fruit. Amen. And whatever's going to bring that to pass, that's what I'm going to ask for. Amen. So God doesn't have to worry about me asking for some nutty thing. I mean, because He knows what I want is what He wants. I want to produce much fruit for Him. And so that is going to keep me in the guidelines of what I'm asking for. Amen. Last thing, producing branches glorify the Father and a prize-winning disciples. Look at it down there in verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let me explain what I'm saying. The Father's the husbandman, right? He's the farmer. Listen, ultimately, He's the partaker of the fruit. He is the one that's going to get out of us what the enjoyment that He wants. Man, when I got to grow tomatoes there in my backyard, it was so good. If I could beat the squirrels to them, amen. I go back there, pick one of those things, man, take it inside, and just, I have to be honest, a lot of times I just eat it right there. I mean, didn't wait for a sandwich or anything, man, just eat that raw tomato. Man, it's good. And as the husbandman, it was a joy to partake in that fruit. The father's the husbandman. And his pleasure is this, to see you and I producing in a great way. So that when he goes to the county fair, he can hold up that prize fruit. I mean, I'm not talking just that average ear of corn that's it's about 7 inches long and 16 rows, about 800 kernels. No, I'm not talking about that kind. I'm talking about one of those that, man, it's about 8, 9, 10 inches long. Got about 20 rows on it. Got about 1,100 kernels. That's one of them county fair type ears of corn. One of them blue ribbon type prize winners. See, that's what God's looking for in this hour. He's looking for you. He wants to hold you up as his trophy. Say, look at this. This is one of my disciples. He's a prize winner. This is one that's producing that fruit that, man, I'm telling you, this is good stuff. It's going to have blue ribbon hanging on it. I don't know about you, but let me ask you, don't you want to hear, well done? Let me give you a little Scottology and I'll be done. We all want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But everybody doesn't get to win the prize, Paul said. I'm convinced the Lord doesn't exaggerate for anybody. Amen. In other words, what I'm saying, you're not going to be unfaithful in Him saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's not going to do that. No. He's not a liar. And somehow there's some Christians in their mind that think, well, every Christian is going to hear, well done. I'm afraid you're wrong. Well, he's just going to pass out crowns like they're lifesavers. Nope. Uh-uh. It's not what it says. See, he's wanting some branches that'll produce much fruit. And I'd ask you, how much fruit have you produced in your Christian life? I'd go back and say it this way. We're in trouble in our nation. We cannot continue to do the things that we've been doing and expect a different result. It's not going to happen. See, what we have to do is determine, I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to start producing more if we're going to see revival. I dare say that if I asked this evening how many want revival, most hands would go up. But do you want it to the point that you produce more than you've been producing? That you get involved. See, you forgive me, but I'm telling you, as we have traveled these last 3 years, I find that most Christians are on the sidelines. We can't afford that. Look where we are because of it. We need revival. It's time for all hands on deck. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, please. Nobody looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Let me ask you first, are you saved? Are you a branch? If you died today, do you know for sure heaven's your home? If that's your testimony, would you just slip your hand up? Preacher, I'm saved, no doubt about it. Hands all over the auditorium. Thank you. You can put them down. Is there anybody tonight that you'd be honest with God and you'd say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I certainly don't want to go to hell. But I don't know for sure I'm headed for heaven. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that tonight? You just slip your hand up so I can pray for you. Put it up good and high. I want to be able to pray for you. Anybody like that tonight? All right. Let me ask you this. How many of you are satisfied as a branch with what you're producing? Would you put your hand up? Oh, I see. So by the indication there, all of us believe we can do more. Is that right? Amen. How many of you would say, Preacher, I want to do more. I want to produce much fruit for God. How many of you did? All right. Amen. My hand's up. How many of you would say tonight, God spoke to my heart during the preaching? Maybe something I said, maybe it's something completely different God spoke to your heart about, but God spoke to you. Let me see your hand. All right. Let me ask you to do this. Don't let that be a one-sided conversation. God spoke to your heart. Why don't you come to an old-fashioned altar tonight and you talk with Him? See, where I come from, it's rude to have a one-sided conversation. Somebody speaks to you, you ought to speak back. The invitation is going to be given. I'm going to pray. The music will play. As God speaks to your heart, you obey Him. Father, please, use the message now. Thank you for the opportunity again. God, please, we pray for our nation. We pray for Christians that will yield to you. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You come as God spoke to your heart. What about it, Christian? We've got to have your help. It's not time to stand on the sidelines. It's not time to be dirty. It's time to get the purging so that we can produce more. It's time to get back in the battle. The devil's good at knocking some out. Don't let him do that. Get up and fight.